Please be seated. The gospel text this morning comes from the Gospel of John. I read for you John 1:1. I will read the first 14 verses of John chapter 1. Listen for God's word for you this day. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Advent 2015 is over. 4 weeks of waiting. Christmas morning has come and gone, as it always does. For many of us, it was filled with family, friends, and gifts, music, and a banquet of food, photographs in new sweaters, electronics that many of us will never really comprehend, and gift cards. Hooray for gift cards. For some, Christmas was incomplete, because special loved ones were missing. For those, Christmas will never be like it once was. Never be like we'd hoped it would always be. Never be as wonderful. But we cannot deny that Christmas came. No matter how secular we are, no matter how spiritually we celebrate it, Christmas 2015 happened. Most of us don't realize it, but there are two sets of Christmas stories in the Gospels. Two of the texts, with many similarities, come from the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, and the other very different version comes from the Gospel of John. The first two Christmas stories are more familiar. We know those. We can visualize those stories and retell them with all the details, such as Zechariah and Elizabeth, Mary and Joseph, the baby, the manger, the sheep and the shepherds, the angel and the angel choirs, the three wise men with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But the second Christmas story comes from the Gospel of John, and we cannot see or visualize or illustrate John's Christmas story. Painters can't paint John's Christmas story because John's Christmas story is abstract and philosophical. In the beginning, he says, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is where John's gospel begins, in the beginning. This is John's nativity story. It doesn't include shepherds and angels or a baby. In this Christmas story, John takes us back to the very beginning. He echoes the words from the book of Genesis, which of course is the story of the beginning. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the faces of the deep. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The Creator spoke the world into being. According to the book of Genesis, it was the words that God spoke that made it all so. In John's gospel, from the very beginning, was the Word. The God who moved over the face of the deep, over the darkness, who spoke and said, "Let there be light," this same God who was from the beginning spoke that word. This same God became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh. The Greek word for word is logos, from which we get our word logic. So, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, could be translated as, in the beginning was logic, and the logic was with God, and the logic was God. Before there was any creation, before there was matter, before there was light and life, obviously there had to have been a set of brains. That's the way it always is. You have to have brains to lay out a plan. There has to be some logic to it. God was and is essentially a large brain cavity of perception and brilliance. In the beginning was the logic, and the logic was with God, and the logic was God. The mind was God. The intelligence was God. The brilliance was God. What the Bible is saying is that before something, anything, was created, there had to be a mastermind behind it. And from this logic, all of light and life was created. Scripture teaches that before the world began, Jesus was the logic of God, the mind of God, the intelligence of God, the brilliance of God. In the beginning was the logic, and the logic was God, and the brilliant logic became flesh and lived among us. So Jesus existed before measured time, and Jesus is the logical mastermind of creation. John thunders this description of his version of the Christmas story, the story of God coming into the world. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Christian faith, unlike every other religion in the world, the Christian faith is the only religion that claims that the brilliant logical intelligence actually became a live human being and occupies the same turf that you and I do. It's called the incarnation, incarnal, in the flesh. And that brilliant, humbly incomprehensible logic changed from a concept into a human, a boy. Christmas is about the almighty, powerful, transcendent God who came near, became carnal, fleshy, human. Here in this Christmas scripture, God the Creator takes on flesh and becomes one of us. Lives, moves, eats, cries, laughs, sleeps, walks among us. He is that word spoken in the midst of our chaos and darkness, and he still creates life where all human and world-like situations around us seem impossible. God, the Word, the brilliance of the mind of God, still is. This is the Christmas story. This is the same Christmas story that the Gospels of Matthew and Luke tell. This is simply God's version, John's version of that story. This is John speaking philosophically, but saying the same thing. We can't really grasp it. We can't paint it. We can't act it out in a play. We can't articulate it. But it is the story of God being born into a world of flesh and blood and living a human life. See, when we're faced with abstractions, we tend to change them into concrete images, because that's how we think. Images sometimes generate descriptions of God that are less than divine, and sometimes they're even less than human. But in our finite mind, that's what we can comprehend. It's difficult for us to realize that God is no longer just a voice from some distant place above the clouds that we can never see or be a part of until after our own death. The incarnation gives us the wonderful insight that not only is Jesus like God, but God is like Jesus and always has been. So, on this first Sunday after Christmas, in the year 2016, what does that mean for us? Well, for instance, if we consider the phrase, "the light shines in the darkness and the darkness did not overcome it," that darkness could take many forms. It might be physical blindness or mental blindness. It might be wars or the threat of wars. It might be human devastation like homelessness or financial ruin. Darkness in this life might be deep depression brought on by any number of situations. It might be the darkness of helplessness or hopelessness. Yet all this darkness is unable to overcome the light of the world. Unable. Unable to wipe out the light of the world. It's a wonderfully hopeful message, almost too good to be true, and almost impossible to believe, especially when one is surrounded by their own darkness. But the light, all the light that is needed, comes in the flesh, in human form, in one human, Jesus. And that leads us to a choice. We can't just make a decision and wish all the badness and all the depression and all the worry and all the darkness away, but we can choose. Do we choose to live in the light's bright illumination? Or do we choose to remain in agreement with the powers of dark? The choice is ours. The choice is to believe in the philosophical story of Christmas or not. If I'm suffering an unbearable loss, God is present with me in that suffering. If the nation is caught up in an international conflict, God is taking sides in that conflict, and I must listen for God's voice and God's direction. There is no darkness of any kind, even death itself, in which God is not intimately acquainted and engaged, present and powerful, loving and full of grace. Jesus is my constant companion, my friend, my advisor, my savior, my light. Jesus not only speaks the word of God, he is the word of God. Jesus not only speaks the truth, he is the truth. Jesus not only does the work of God, he is God. Moses was God's utensil and brought us God's law. Jesus is God's utensil and brings us grace, truth, light. Thus, in Jesus, a new order has arrived. Here's the question for this Sunday in a brand new year. Will I choose to stand in the light of Christ as it is constantly and continually shining in the darkness? Am I willing to live and to be known as a child of God in response to God's willingness to be born a child for me? Because I have been given the greatest gift of all time, wrapped up in swaddling clothes and presented in perfect form to me. This is the Christmas story, and you and I are given the opportunity to choose whether or not to believe it. Amen.